as I was thinking about kind of looking into the new year, you know, everybody gets some cool presents and that kind of stuff. But if you could ask God for one thing, what would it be? We do have an example in the Bible where God said, ask me for anything you want and I'll give it to you. What would you ask for? Well, 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 4 through 15. This is what God's word said. Then the king Solomon went to Gibeon to offer sacrifices, because that was the most important high place. And Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon during the night in a dream, and God said, ask for whatever you want me to give you. Huh. Solomon answered, you have shown great kindness to your servant, my father David, because he was faithful before you and righteous and upright in heart. You have considered this great kindness to him and given him a son to sit on the throne to this very day. So now, Lord my God, you have made your servant king in the place of my father David, but I'm only like a little child and do not know how to carry out my duties. Your servant is here among people you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to count or number. Ah, verse 9. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours? And the Lord was pleased that Solomon asked for this. And so God said to him, since you have asked for this and not for long life or wealth for yourself, nor the death of your enemies, but for discernment in administering justice, I will do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart so that there will never have been anyone like you, nor will there ever be. Moreover, I will give you what you have not asked for, both wealth and honor, so that in your lifetime you will have no equal among kings. And if you walk in obedience to my decrees and commands, as your father David did, I will give you a long life as well. Then Solomon awoke, and he realized it had been a dream. And he returned to Jerusalem, stood before the ark of the Lord's covenant, and sacrificed more burnt offerings and fellowship offerings. And then he gave a big feast for the whole court. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you that we can be in your house today and worship you. And Lord, offer this last Sunday to you. And Lord, as we've all just been through the Christmas holiday, received many nice presents and gifts, we come before you into this new year asking for really the greatest gift you could give us, which would be wise and discerning hearts, so that we may do what is right before your eyes. And Lord, as we always pray, we do pray for those spiritual eyes that see and spiritual ears that hear everything you want to say to our hearts through the power of your word and the power of your Holy Spirit. And we give you thanks and praise in the name born, the one born in Bethlehem, Jesus Christ, saying, amen. So while Christmas is over, the season officially is not. And again, as I alluded to, you know that old song, The 12 Days of Christmas, that actually comes after Christmas, after the holiday. It leads up to an old day, January 6th, called Epiphany, meaning the manifestation, and that's the arrival of the Magi. Now, this is more common knowledge in other countries, especially Hispanic countries. I learned about this from Spanish-speaking friends in Chicago. It's called Three Kings Day. Any of you know Three Kings Day? It's a big deal in Spanish-speaking parts of the world. Lots of parties, lots of great food, and here's a fun little tradition. They put their shoes outside with hay filled in it in order to feed the camels of the wise men. And then little gifts go in there. It's like Spanish stockings, but shoes. It's kind of fun. Now, this week as I was working on this sermon, a bit to my own embarrassment, I was schooled by an AI program. Any of you use AI? I know. A little sketchy, right? I've been shocked at what AI can tell me about the Bible in details. It's like, oh, that's how they get you, Jim. I don't know, but this is what I discovered this week. The dark side, right? Reminding me, Americans, we don't understand Three Kings Day and Advent, the post-Advent season, because of the huge buildup and commercialization of the holiday culminating in presents on December 25th. I got spiritually rebuked by an AI program. So it's like we want to be or done on December 25th, but actually Christmas tide goes 12 days beyond. Now, I do hope some of you got cool presents this year, but I pray more for the matchless presence of Jesus Christ being renewed in your life in a new way as well. Because we know Christmas is not about presence, but it's about his arrival, his advent, his coming and presence in our lives. You've seen the stickers, you've seen it on Christmas cards. He's the reason for the season. And I did enjoy Three Kings Day with my Hispanic friends in Chicago, and I hope their camels are well tended to in this short season of Christmastide. But I want to talk about a different king this morning as we move to the new year. And as we think about the presents or the gifts that we received or didn't receive, want to submit for your prayerful consideration, asking for a different priceless present. This could completely change your new year. And I want to talk about a few things about the prayer of Solomon, his request of God in 1 Kings 3. So now, as we well know, winning the lottery is a rare thing, pretty rare. But have you noticed that in a few places in the Bible, most notably here, occasionally God will ask a person what they want? And they'll put no stipulations on it. Ask me whatever you want. In this case, Solomon. I mean, imagine if God said that to you, what would you ask for? If you were told in a dream to go ahead and ask him for anything, what would you possibly choose? Seriously, right? Now, normally this is frowned on because human beings tend to ask for dumb and harmful things, I've found, including sometimes myself as well. And of course, since we just had Christmas Day, we want to avoid confusing Santa Claus with Jesus as if the Lord was some sort of heavenly vending machine. Or as our oldest son told me years ago when he was making out his Christmas list and still using, remember the old Sears catalog? Oh, that used to produce so much greed and avarice in people. You ever sit down with that catalog and, ooh, I'd like that and I'd like that. And it just never ended. This has been going on since the garden, right? And he was going through the catalog, and I said to him, hey, Zach, maybe you'll want to keep your list short because Santa has a lot of kids to tend to throughout the world, you know? And he said, oh, Dad, don't worry about it. Santa's got it covered. And I said, okay, we'll see. Or take the peddlers of the heretical health and wealth gospel or the name it and claim it crowd who think if you aren't healthy and wealthy, you just don't have enough faith. That is a pernicious heresy. That's just not true, right? People who say those kinds of things probably have never read the book of Job, have they? Or they've forgotten certain details regarding the crucifixion and death of Jesus Christ. Or maybe they just haven't made time to watch Mel Gibson's movie classic, The Passion of the Christ. Some people don't like that because it's pretty nasty, it's bloody. But it's probably the most realistic crucifixion scene ever produced by Hollywood, easily, right? No, God is God. God is not some scary genie in a lamp waiting to give us three wishes. But you know, that has never stopped people from trying, has it? Never stop. Kind of like the time, Billy. Yeah, when a Ukrainian peasant found a lamp in the woods and he rubbed it and was astonished when a genie appeared offering him three wishes. Now, much to his surprise, the peasant asked for China to invade his country, to which he complied. The genie was also dumbfounded when for his second wish, the Ukrainian peasant, the farmer, requested that the Chinese army invade his country a second time, which the genie was forced to do. But when the Ukrainian peasant requested for a third and final wish that China invade his country a third time, the genie became angry and thought the poor man was simply stupid, but he had to grant his request nonetheless. And he said, "Why did you ask me to send the Chinese to invade the Ukraine from the east three times?" The genie was annoyed and incredulous. And because the clever Ukrainian peasant replied, he said, "That would mean that the Chinese would have to invade Russia six times in total." Back and forth, right? Now that's not a bad request if you're Ukrainian, right? Maybe that's even wise. But if God gave you a single wish, anything you wanted, what would it be? Would it be winning the lottery? Would it be having a beautiful home? Would it be to be forever young and or loved and admired by all? Well, the Bible makes pretty clear that there was a time when God did this very thing, when he offered a human being one wish, anything that he could choose, right? We know Solomon came to the throne of his father David. The Bible says in 1 Kings 3, he sacrificed 1,000 animals to God, and on that night the Lord came to him in a dream. And in that dream, God actually told the young Solomon, ask me for whatever you want me to give you. How did the young Solomon reply? He thanked, first of all, good answer. He started by thanking God for all his kindness to him and his father David. And he was humble. He actually admitted that the task of ruling over God's people was too great for him. Good answer. Good answer. Solomon humbled himself before the Lord. He said, I'm just like a little child. I don't know how to carry out my duties. And what's his single request? God promised that he would answer. Verse 9. Give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and distinguish between right and wrong, for who is able to govern these people of yours? That is astonishing, spiritually speaking, absolutely astonishing. Who do you actually know that if they could have just one thing from God that they would ask for this, a wise and a discerning heart? Bible says this is how God replied. He said, I will do what you have asked. When has God ever said to a man or a woman, I will do what you ask? But he does answer prayer, doesn't he? I will do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart. There will never be anyone like you from now on. But if this weren't enough, God surprised Solomon by telling him because he did not selfishly ask for wealth or the death of his enemies, he'd give him wealth and honor on top of it. And if he was obedient to his decrees and commands like his father David would, then he'd throw in a long life to boot. What else could you possibly ask for? Bible says when Solomon awoke, he returned to Jerusalem and he worshiped God before the Ark of the Covenant. He sacrificed more costly animals. I mean, that was the big form of wealth was animals then. And then he had a big feasting party for the whole court. I should think so. If that had been Christmas, that would be a Christmas to talk about for the ages, I would think. But you know, here's the problem. Most of us ask for things of a far more selfish nature than Solomon. Kind of like the time, Billy. When a recently divorced woman from a Christmas long ago found a brass lamp on a California beach, and when she rubbed it, a genie popped out and offered her 3 wishes for his successful release. The only catch was this, that whatever she asked for, her ex-husband would get double. Now what are you going to ask for? And you're mad. Making important decisions while you're angry is probably not wise, is it? Well, for her first wish, she asked for $500 million, thus giving her ex a billion. For her second wish, she asked for a mansion in Malibu, thus giving her ex 2. And then she thought of her ex-husband profiting from her good fortune. That infuriated this woman until she came to her third wish. And with great schadenfreude, we like that word around here, right? We take pleasure over other people's misfortunes. We don't pray for that. We just admit it, right? With great schadenfreude and glee in her eyes, she declared, for my third wish, I would like you to scare me half to death. That is a very different kind of request than Solomon's request, I think. We're all tired. It took a minute, right? I get it, right? Many of us have desired the lesser goods instead of Solomon's request for a wise and a discerning heart. And to be sure, money can be a really good thing, and health is a real concern for the sick and the elderly. Being loved and admired by others is a good thing too, right? But for the person who says they've never had any adversaries or enemies in this life, I think they're probably lying or are just plain dead. But is it any wonder, have you thought about this, that young pop stars and professional athletes are ruined by their newly found money and fame for want of Solomon's request of a wise and discerning heart? Who in the world ever thought it would be a good idea to give a barely legal 21-year-old kid millions of dollars to do whatever they wanted with it, and millions of more adoring fans who worship at their feet as if they were Jesus Christ himself? What did we think would happen? Did we even wonder why most of them end up terribly addicted to drugs, alcohol, materialism, and broken relationships? Do we have to wonder why most of them suffer and struggle with crushing depression and despair? I wonder, for these young people, did anyone ever advise them to surround themselves with people with wise and loving hearts and discerning hearts? People who actually love them instead of trying to get out of them something. Does that make sense? We shouldn't be surprised. We know this. You see, all these lesser goods, they're very good things. But unless you have a wise and discerning heart, you're not going to know how to handle those lesser goods, right? And all of us have stories about that in our own lives and loved ones, right? Don't you see that if you ask God for a wise and discerning heart, he will actually give it to you, right? Then you will know what to do or not to do with all those other good things, right? So ask. As the new year comes, ask God for the gift of a wise and discerning heart. As a follower of Jesus, why would you ask for anything else? Why? But you may say, Jim, how do I know that God will give me a wise and discerning heart if I ask him? Because the Bible clearly and emphatically says that if you ask God for wisdom, he will grant your request. You can have Solomon's request. All you have to do is simply ask. But you may be like the good Berean Christians in the book of Acts, who were said to diligently and joyfully search the scriptures for them themselves to see if these things are true. You may say, but Jim, where in the Bible does it tell me that if I ask God for wisdom, he promises to give it to me, as he did King Solomon? Very easy. I would point you to the book of James in the New Testament. The earthly half-brother of Jesus shares this with all of us. James 1, 5 through 8 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, he, she should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault. There's the promise. God, ask God for wisdom. He will give it generously. There is simply one condition here, James tells us. You must have faith. You must believe and not doubt. Because if you doubt the precious and clear promises of God, you'll be like everyone else who craves the lesser goods. And if all your desire is for the lesser goods, then that will land you smack dab in the land of what the Bible calls idolatry, right? When you take the good things of God that he's given and you put all your hope in things, they will fall apart on you. That's idolatry, and that's so prevalent in the West today, in our country. Well, I don't worship those statues like they do in other parts. No, you worship more pernicious and false gods, probably. Like, well, you're fun today. But it's part of the whole point, right? If you lack wisdom, ask God. Now, the selfish people are never stable people anyway. You know, the half-brother of Jesus, James, says that they are double-minded. Now, I looked at the Greek underneath it. It's even more scary than the English translation. It says they're double-souled. I mean, how in the world could you split your soul in half, if that were even possible? What pain and trouble it would be to you, especially to all those around you. When people are living selfish lives, have you noticed it harms everyone around them? I hate this term too, when I hear from selfish people. Well, we're consenting adults. Well, then how about act like being like an adult, not a child, right? These things that we hear in our culture are ridiculous. Any of you ever watch the Harry Potter movies or read the books? It's very instructive. The evil and malevolent character Voldemort split his soul into how many pieces? Seven. An unholy seven, to the pain and suffering of untold thousands. No, instead, God wants to give you what he gave King Solomon some 3,000 years ago. He wants to give you a wise and discerning heart. It's simply up for you to ask and not doubt him. So my simple point today is this: let's ask God for a wise and discerning heart this Christmastide season, as well as the 2025 new year. Could you possibly ever receive a better gift than a wise and discerning heart? You know, but it's still true. People continue to wish for the lesser goods. We know this. Others still deal with capricious genies in their lamps instead of the Lord. Kind of like the time, Billy. When President Donald Trump found a magic lamp on his beautiful Mar-a-Lago property in Florida. You know, now I'm really stretching. And of course, Mr. Trump, knowing the routine, rubbed the lamp and a genie popped out, saying that he would grant to the soon-be 47th president three wishes. I'm going to try this. Mr. Trump, being rather weary, said, "I'm tired of getting sued for everything I do. My first wish is," can you do the Trump dance? "My first wish is that there be no more courts." "Granted," said the genie, "but now you have no more wishes left." Perplexed, the Donald replied, "What do you mean? You told me I had three wishes and I only used one." To which the genie simply replied, "So sue me." And so, in conclusion, right, instead of simply pursuing the lesser goods in 2025, why don't you make Solomon's request? Why don't you ask God for a wise and discerning heart? Then you'll know how to handle anything else that might come your way in 2025. Doesn't that sound pretty good? Because stuff's going to come your way. You can have it. You can have a wise and discerning heart just like King Solomon. All you have to do is ask God and believe. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the truth of your word. It's so simple, and yet we make it hard. Just like we do Christmas, we take the beauty of the birth of Jesus and make it into something it's not sometimes, and it's just hard. And we admit that and repent from that. Lord, we pray as we move into 2025 for wise and discerning hearts so that we can be your followers and bring this joy of Jesus to everyone. And so, Lord, you say we can have it. All we have to do is ask, believe, and not doubt. So we ask now to be a people of wisdom, not only for ourselves, but for those around us and for your glory. And so, Lord, we just thank you for this truth. Lead us and guide us as we enter into the new year, 2025, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.